Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Just getting this statement into us, and I want to read part of it because it is a little bit vague. It says, while traveling with a bipartisan congressional delegation in Luxembourg to mark the 80th anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge, Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi sustained an injury during an official engagement and was admitted to the hospital for evaluation. Pelosi is currently receiving excellent treatment from doctors and medical professionals. She continues to work and regrets that she's unable to attend the remainder of the CODEL engagements to honor the courage of our service members during one of the greatest acts of American heroism in our nation's history. It goes on to say, Pelosi conveys her thanks and praise to the veterans with gratitude and to the people of Luxembourg for their service in World War II and their roles in bringing peace to Europe. She was personally and officially honored to travel with the distinguished delegation. She says that she looks forward to returning home to the U.S. soon.
It seems like there's a lot of things kind of falling apart right now in the transitionary time. Did I see correctly that Mitch McConnell had another episode? He fell.
He fell. Yeah. And he was absent from the Senate yesterday. So
did he go to the podium with his head wrapped, or is that AI?
I couldn't tell. Yeah, I saw that same picture and I don't know.
I've seen that it was AI.
It looked way too fishy for me.
Me too.
And it looked like the last time he went to the podium to speak. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't even know why he would go to the podium to speak now, especially after having another medical incident where he fell.
Right. And it was big.
Where did you see that it was AI, Brad?
I saw it on Twitter. Somebody said this. I think it was a community notes. The bandages and stuff were added later. This is AI.
Okay. That's the type of thing that I think we're really up against right now.
Right.
To be super diligent on everything that you consume, to always quit. My first assumption is that it's altered in some way. I don't trust much of anything. I was just last night before I was falling asleep going through a thread. Everybody on X wants you to read a thread right now. Why? Because they get bigger payouts with more engagement. So if they
didn't know that.
Oh yes.
Okay.
If you post something and somebody clicks and reads the comments, views the comments, participates in the comments, when you start creating, I find that content to be very interesting at times, but I feel like I can really tell when people are like, well, let's just throw the spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. But it was, I don't know, it was some rabbit hole, super conspiratorial, like, here's a thread of proof that the Illuminati is real. And I'm like, all right, let's see what you got. And one of the things that was cited in there was WikiLeaks. It was a Hillary email. And the email was so blatantly awful. And I mean, it was like, it was like using words that are in that whole like Pizzagate kind of conversation used as code. But they were like using those code words, but talking blatantly about the thing that the code words are supposed to cover up. And I'm like, no, in no way, shape or form would this be a conversation that was like, it wouldn't be 2024 and we're now just seeing, like, that's ridiculous and stupid. So then I go to WikiLeaks. This is how stupid my nights are before I go to sleep and probably why my I have dreams and nightmares. So like last night I'm laying in bed at 10:30 investigating Hillary's emails on WikiLeaks because
looking for a bombshell.
It's not, well, no, it's not even that. I am 85% sure that it's all bologna sausage, and I want to do the investigative reporting to prove that they're full of crap. And I went, I mean, the email was a screenshot of an email, and it had the date, the time, and everything on it. Very easy to go look up, and the email's not in there. And the second that I prove one thing in your thread is wrong, I'm blocking you from my feed. I don't ever want to see you again, because right. I am not here for you to dupe.
Right. And it's we're in that world now, though, where the AI is so good. Because that picture, I initially thought, boy, that's a strange picture. Oh, maybe it's AI.
Remember when people were getting all from the left, were getting all over Donald Trump for his significantly too large bandage on the ear that almost got shot off of his head?
Yes.
This AI version of a bandage
was even bigger.
But we don't know what was under there.
But it's based on real news. That's yes. What's hard.
Yes.
Is that he did fall, and apparently he cut his face and sprained his wrist, according to CNN. And then he also did speak sometime this week. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. He put out a statement or he said something that people were running with and saying, oh, this was a knock on Donald Trump. So there is real news there, but then people add things to it that are not. So you're just in an era where you have to question everything all the time.
When I'm looking through a thread on X, because I'm genuinely interested in a case that someone's trying to make, and sometimes the thread is like, the unequivocal best dogs in movies ever, a thread. And I'm like, okay.
All right.
I'll bite.
I'm in.
It's 11 o'clock on a Tuesday night. What else do I have to do? But other times it's more consequential things and I want to learn and know about it. And like I said, I will go in and very quickly find something that I think to be easily verifiable and then go. And if I verify that, okay, they're right here, I'm going to go further and I'm going to look into it a little bit more. We have to do the same thing here, because if we report to you that Mitch McConnell gave some sort of something, you know, press briefing or whatever, and he had this huge bandage on his head because we were duped, we lose credibility.
Right.
And it's, I think, a huge challenge that we're facing right now with artificial intelligence being so good. And when we talk about artificial intelligence being so good, it's like watching all of these 80s and 90s movies that I've been watching with my kids, remembering when they were released and being in awe of the dinosaurs and how realistic they look. And then going back with my kids, and my kids are like laughing at the movie.
Yeah.
So what is it going to be like in 20 years, in 30 years, when it's deceiving right now?
What's it going to be like next year? Because,
yeah.
I mean, this is something that in the span of us even doing this show has become a major issue that, you know, 3 years ago, you thought, oh, maybe some things would be doctored, but you could tell. You could, and we're still in an era where you can kind of pick it up. Within a couple of years, you're not going to be able to know if anything is real. I just watched a movie last night called Viral that's on, I think, Hulu, and it's about a worm flu that's like a zombie kind of movie.
Ew.
I had to look it up when it was made because it has Barack Obama speaking in it. And I thought, I don't know when this was made. Maybe it's supposed to be now, but it was take place back then. Barack Obama speaking in it. They had to have used real clips because it was made in 2016. But that's why you look up the year, because you know, oh, if it's in 2016, they didn't have this technology yet. Now they do.
Well, do you remember in Forrest Gump, they did that with John F. Kennedy. They went back.
Yes, and that looks bad now. That,
yeah, it looks awful now. But I remember seeing that the first time. I was like, wow. Same thing with the feather.
When you're watching yourself, I think what we have right now, like with the bandage and Mitch McConnell, what I have right now is a hunch. I think the hunch is prevalent. You're scrolling, and then all of a sudden you're like, I don't know about that. that meter is different for everybody. I'm going to tie this in here to something that we haven't talked about yet.
At this time, that the reported drone sightings pose a national security or a public safety threat, or have a foreign nexus. The Department of Homeland Security and the FBI are investigating these sightings, and they're working closely with state and local law enforcement to provide resources using numerous detection methods to better understand their origin. Using very sophisticated electronic detection technologies provided by federal authorities, we have not been able to, and neither have state or local law enforcement authorities, corroborate any of the reported visual sightings. To the contrary, upon review of available imagery, it appears that many of the reported sightings are actually manned aircraft that are being operated lawfully. The United States Coast Guard is providing support to the state of New Jersey and has confirmed that there is no evidence of any foreign-based involvement from coastal vessels. And importantly, there are no reported or confirmed drone sightings in any restricted airspace.
Yeah, nothing to see here. These are not the drones you're looking for. We've heard it all. May I present to you not the Iran-China option, not the it's our own U.S. government option, not the aliens option. May I present to you, what if these are the robots?
Oh, the robots themselves have become sentient.
What if the artificial intelligence is now airborne?
Oh no, that wasn't an option yesterday, so
no,
it can't be true.
It can't. That is not artificial or intelligence.
Well, all he's saying is, here's what we're pretty sure it's not. They're not saying at all what it is. I mean, they'd say, well, there's some aircraft that
he says
manned,
that it's not foreign. There's no evidence of any foreign. And I'm like, go talk to your congressmen who say that there is evidence. I mean, clearly there's some conflicting information out there. What is Van Drew and I think it was Gonzalez from Texas, what do they have to gain by being like, no biggie, mothership in the water, off the coast of our eastern seaboard from Iran, launching drones into the country? That's not the same thing as saying, you know, Iran is pretty ticked at us, and Iran is really not comfortable with the idea that Donald Trump is about to be the president again, and they might not want what's best for us. No, they're saying mothership off the eastern seaboard, launching drones over New Jersey, which, again, sounds like a Christmas song. Drones over New Jersey.
Is that a slow song in your head, or is that more of a banger?
Romantic.
Okay.
Slow jam.
Okay.
The night lights.
Because I'm singing Bombs Over Baghdad.
Yeah.
Drones Over New Jersey.
I don't think that's what it is.
Not the same thing.
No.
I think
the one you heard was fake.
I don't think there is a real song. I think we're back to the AI.
That's what they want you to think. The
suggestion, and maybe these congresspeople have been duped too, you know, and they're getting false information. That's possible. But the suggestion that I keep hearing, people go, how could this be Iran? Iran wouldn't want to ruffle the feathers right now. Iran has been on the terror watch list as being a conspirator that wants to assassinate the president.
Yes,
they just hacked his phone.
Hostile.
Yeah. I mean, within 2 months, yeah, they have hacked into President Trump's personal database or whatever that is. So they're very actively doing things right now. That's actually why I chose them yesterday in the poll.
Iran, China,
yeah.
Yeah. I just wondered to myself, I think I thought of that while we were driving in. I'm just like, what if it's the robots? Dang it. That's not a fun Christmas.
Well, at least they're just still in the gathering information phase.
I don't know.
They haven't started attacking yet.
Gotta wait for the eyes to start flickering and then...
Minneapolis, is that the most Midwestern we've heard of them?
That I've heard, yeah.
But other than that, Jersey, Connecticut, New York, maybe a little bit.
And the Minneapolis thing wasn't much. You know, there was a report that people had seen them. A friend of mine who lives there reported, yes, I did see it. That's why I looked it up. But other than that one report, it's more centered on New Jersey, apparently.
It's your robot overlords.
And I, for one, want to be on the record as welcoming them.
Mm-hmm.
I was on your side the whole time, robots. You know this.
Do you think you could sweet talk them? Do you think you could sweet talk a robot? You think you can sell the idea that you're on their side?
Here's the thing. Nobody can sweet talk a robot. A robot's got its own agenda.
Would you try?
I would just try to make it clear that I was not a threat to them. Like, look, I'm not doing anything over here. We're just growing some potatoes in our backyard.
Are you growing potatoes in your backyard?
I will be soon. Well, I just want to stay out of your way.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not here to try to, I don't want to become your pet. You know, we're not doing that. But I'm definitely not, you know, if you're going to go ahead and, like, scorch earth, just leave Collinsville alone.
Skip the ketchup bottle.
Yeah.
The Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll for our Friday the 13th is, which of our favorite Christmas movies is the best? So everybody has their favorite Christmas movie, of course. And I think it's interesting whenever you talk about favorite Christmas movies, there are different reasons why you appreciate different Christmas movies. So it might be your favorite Christmas comedy. It might be your most sentimental one. In my experience, I have like a favorite one that I have with my family, but it's not necessarily my overall favorite. So we have the four listed here, and I think we'll probably, we'll try to get through the show without saying whose is whom.
Okay.
So the four that we have listed here, and these are all, this is Brad, Ethan, Ryan, and myself, all of our favorite picks. We need to know which one do you think is the best? And if you go to the Annie Fry YouTube live chat in our live broadcast right now, Annie Fry YouTube channel, you can vote. Here are the four options, our four favorite Christmas movies. Home Alone, A Christmas Story, Christmas Vacation, and It's a Wonderful Life. Which, is A Christmas Story considered a comedy? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so.
I would consider it a comedy, yeah.
Let me just confess that I've never seen it.
A Christmas Story.
I've never seen it. I might try to watch it this year. Last year I watched Die Hard.
I'd be interested to see what you'd think about Christmas Story, having never seen it now in 2024.
Is it going
to
be slow?
No, it's not slow. It's just, and I've said this before about A Christmas Story, it's a very unique movie in that it doesn't have any sort of driving force behind it. It's just a bunch of scenes. There's no real, like, movement toward
plot
an
thread.
End. Yeah.
I guess I just gave away that A Christmas Story isn't mine.
You kind of did.
A lot of people are very offended that I've never seen it before. They're reacting quite aggressively towards me. I'm sorry, it wasn't personal. Doug says, A Christmas Story is considered terrible.
Oh, really, Doug?
Oh, really, Doug?
Why don't you tell us how you really feel?
You know, this is going to be an interesting case study with you, though, because almost everybody's seen this movie. But it has aged differently than if you first saw it in the 80s or the 90s.
Well, you'll have to explain that to me later because I don't really know what that means, but also I haven't seen it yet. So,
okay.
Quick Rick says Christmas Story is a timepiece. So is that a compliment? I think that's a compliment.
Like, I think so.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get your votes. Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. Well, Ethan's outing himself right now here, so he's...
Whoops.
All right, Ethan, thank you for that. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about the headlines that are hitting right now. We've got a lot of interesting stuff to talk about. I'm also going to talk at 1 o'clock. We're going to talk about Caitlin Clark. Haven't talked about her yet. She is Times Athlete of the Year? We're going to discuss the big discussion around Caitlin Clark. Boy, she cannot get away from the news headlines, can she? We'll talk about that at 1 o'clock and more news headlines when we come back. Don't go away. Tell me why.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I've never sat at a bar and just drank because I was sad.
There's something real romantic about that, though.
It's not, but I would do that if this song were playing.
I kind of want to do that right now, just because the song's playing.
Come on. Come on, Ethan, get in here. Run the
but we'd have to all go to separate bars.
Yeah, I know.
So
we'll just talk to each other.
Different ends of the bar.
We'll still do the show, but just by Zoom.
Can't you just see the shot in the movie of Ryan Wiggins sitting at the end of the bar by himself, staring into his Tennessee whiskey, forlorn, hat on backwards, beard all disheveled.
A couple of guys come in after work. They're like, man, I bet that guy's seen some things. And I'm listening to everything because I'm just basically there for the image.
The bartender there polishing the glass.
Yep.
I'm mostly thinking of Randy Quaid at the bar in Independence Day.
A lot of your life and mine revolve around Independence Day.
It's a great movie.
It is
so
a good movie.
So many things were better then.
It's true.
When presidents were Republican.
Was he a Republican in that movie?
Go down the rabbit hole. Do yourself a favor. Especially on Reddit, there are whole threads on whether or not, what was his name?
Bill Pullman.
No, his name is Will Pullman.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But president, I'll come up with it by the end of the show, whether or not he was Republican or Democrat. we're going to find this. I got to write this down so I don't forget to do it. Because the things that people on Reddit use to surmise that he's Republican, I'm like, oh, well, it's kind of true.
Wait. Are they casting their current, you know, state of politics onto him then?
It's not from Reddit in 1996.
So they're not saying, like, at the politics at the time would suggest.
I'll find it.
Okay.
We'll discuss it in the 2 o'clock hour.
We better now.
And we'll determine if it tracks.
Okay.
And by the end of me reading Reddit, which I enjoy doing, I learn more from Reddit about society and culture than maybe anywhere else collectively. This is not an endorsement for anybody to go read Reddit because, like, buggle up. But, I think that the president, they made a pretty good case that he was Republican. We're talking about the drones a little bit. We've talked about them a lot. The thing about the drones that really frustrates me the most, I think, is how we are nationally just like, well, I guess nobody knows. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. There's no, like, outrage. There's no actual outrage that the powers that be aren't convincing us that they've taken control of the situation.
If I were liberal right now, I would say, look, if a government or government was just a little bit bigger, we'd know. So all we need is a little bit more funding.
And if I were conservative, I'd say I think the government's big enough and it's probably flying over the skies and over New Jersey right now, and they should be held accountable to the American people with some truth and honesty.
Well, that's misogyny.
What?
I'm a liberal.
Word of the day. Oh.
Remember.
Racist.
Yeah.
You mentioned it yesterday, but it definitely has that Chinese spy balloon feel about it where it's like, come on, guys. You already know. We know you know. Just tell us what you know.
Every day that passed when the Chinese balloon was flying over, it was like the country figured out what was going on, and then the government reported some version of what they said the day after everybody was saying it. And they're like, well. And then didn't we shoot a missile at it over the Atlantic Ocean?
Yes.
And didn't we miss once?
Ooh, I don't remember that.
I don't know if it was one or two. Yeah, they were inert missiles.
We missed once.
Yeah, they were inert missiles. They didn't have an explosive warhead on them, but they were just
sent to, like, pierce
fly
it.
Fly through it, yeah, because it was up too high to use guns.
This is, you're right, it's very reminiscent of the Chinese spy balloon in that we're going, why did it take a random news crew in Montana for you to find out and tell us? Well, we did know. We just didn't want to say anything. Yeah, okay. Thank you for not saying anything.
Did you shoot it down?
It went over
the
half the country already. And then people claiming that, well, this just shows that China is way ahead. No. This does not show that. If they need to find out something from above, like from a balloon or a drone that they can't get from a satellite, I think we're doing okay.
We have satellites.
Yeah.
Has Trump said anything about them?
I don't think so.
That's interesting to me. Because to me, if he wanted to, now granted, he's acting very much so as the president. He is the president-elect, but he is acting very presidential and going around the world and talking to world leaders and being contacted by world leaders, and world leaders are coming to him at Mar-a-Lago. Normally, this would be an opportunity for him to call out the ineptitude of the people involved. The question about the powers that be that could be involved in this situation, normally he would say something about it. I find it interesting that he's not talking about it. If it were something... I can think of a lot of reasons why he might not be talking about it. If it's, I think the most likely thing that is going on here, the most likely outcome is that there is a government contractor who is doing something, testing something, and it could even involve testing American response to the visual of this. But I have a feeling that the United States government is doing its plausible deniability thing where they're like, I don't know. I have no idea. Like, how stupid could we possibly be if it's a foreign country and we're out there saying we have no idea? But then again, that's what's publicly what happened with the Chinese spy balloon. So in my mind, I'm like, that's not possible that our government would be reacting in this way. But we have a very recent case study in them doing exactly that thing. And then later finding out, again, I point out, they watched the thing launch from China. Our intelligence saw it launch from China. Mm-hmm. We saw it over Alaska, right? Didn't it come over like around Alaska?
And they said that they had followed it, yeah.
So they knew the whole time. People in Montana are like, hey, let's shoot that thing out of the sky. What the heck is that? And they're like, oh, we don't know. We have no idea. And then it gets all the way across the coast. It came over here.
Mm-hmm.
It came over the central part of the country. Lord knows what it did. And we just watched publicly the ineptitude. We have no idea what they're doing behind the scenes. It makes the most sense to me that there's some sort of contractor that's involved with the government where, in many cases, in our top secret industries, that the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. The right hand knows everything that the right hand is doing, but has no idea what the left hand is doing. And if they talk too much in any regard about this, I think the difficulty will be navigating the public face of what is being viewed right now without potentially a house of cards falling down in our top secret industries. And then also, how does the American government explain to the American people that they have flown drones over people's homes, businesses? That's what I think is the most likely outcome.
That's not a bad outcome. Although it does show that our government needs to be on the same page, because if you have one agency doing something that other agencies don't know about, then
I don't want anybody to know everything top secret that our government is doing, though.
Well, when you listen to John Kirby, though, talk about that, because that was John Kirby in the clip we opened the show, right? When you listen to him, now, who knows what spin he's putting on it, but if you just take him at his word, this sounds like it's a hobbyist, like a New Jersey Aviation Society has been sending up drones or
something. I do not take John Kirby at his word.
I don't either.
I think John Kirby is the best communications professional in the Biden administration, which means he knows how to make us think what they want us to think without telling us whole lies.
Yeah.
And them using him is a tell. They send him out when it's important stuff.
There are other things, obviously, that are going on right now, and I want to hit on some of these other headlines that are upon us. I think that the Doge concept, I find it to be important for us to be paying attention to where this goes, and I have huge and high expectations for it. And, you know, we've reported on that. It's 429 agencies that they said they think they can get down to 99. That's going to have an enormous impact economically on our government, but also what gets pulled out. Like, what kind of government subsidy are you benefiting from right now that you have no idea you're benefiting from? Brad, you could probably explain a little bit better, like ethanol, like the E85 gas.
Yeah, E85 gas is 85% alcohol derived from corn mixed with 10%, or what would that be, 15% gasoline. That whole industry is subsidized by the government.
Is it cheaper to make that gas than it is other gasoline?
I don't think it's cheaper to make it. I think it's about the same price, but there's not as much energy in ethanol as there is in gasoline. So a gallon of ethanol doesn't contain as much energy as a gallon of gasoline. And so therefore, it's not a great fuel for cars.
How does it affect your car?
It can be corrosive if your car isn't built for it. Also, to get the most efficiency out of it, your car has to have different engine settings. So you don't want to use E85 if you don't have an E85 capable vehicle. If you don't, you're going to damage your engine severely. But if you do, you're going to get worse gas mileage when you use it. So
yeah, Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that sometimes E85 can be cheaper. I don't even know. Is it still cheaper?
Oh, yeah.
It's still cheaper?
Oh, yeah.
It's not cheaper. It's the government is using mm-hmm. funds that you... And remember, the government has no money until they take it from a taxpayer. It's being made to look more affordable so people participate in it. Now, I can understand the benefit of investing in progress to an extent, but like, what are the end goals here? If it's some sort of green energy source that's actually ruining our cars as we use it, is not cheaper to manufacture, and in some way, shape, or form is not going to be, you know, I remember that one Senate hearing where they're like, how much will this bazillion dollars of investment lower the temperature of the earth? And they're like, we don't have a number. And I think it was Kennedy was like, is it like 2 degrees? Is it 3 degrees? Is it a half a degree? And they're like, we have no idea. And it's like, so we're going through all of this for no target outcome. Milk is something I know that is, aren't milk prices very much so affected by government involvement in making sure that it doesn't get overpriced or that it is price controlled a little bit. I know that, of course, there's farming across the country that people are paid to not farm their fields to keep prices where they need to be. There's just a ton of government involvement in things that when you go get your gallon of milk off the shelf, you're not thinking about the government's participation in that process. When you're putting gas in your car, maybe more so there than other places, but how much does the government participation in where we drill or how we drill or who we don't allow to drill or who we don't subsidize, where we get our gasoline from or our oil from. The government is pushing buttons on all of these things in our lives. And if DOGE goes in there and makes a measurable difference, maybe it bubbles up to the surface somewhere in a way that we didn't expect it really to. Peter Thiel was commenting on this with Piers Morgan. And I think people are questioning, and I haven't even really, I've been so hyped about this that I haven't probably properly questioned it. Like, what if this turns into a total bust? Everybody, you know, it's like the pep rally before the game. Everybody's super hyped, faces are painted, everybody's ready to go, let's go Doge. And then they get there and like, oh, this is way more intricate and complicated and interwoven than we thought. We can't do nearly what we thought we could.
That's my fear. That's my biggest fear, is that they will be able to do some things like get rid of goofy electronic vehicle mandates and, you know, some things like that. But they won't make the dent that we need them to make.
Well, this is what he said with Piers Morgan.
Strong consensus view in the DC establishment is that this is going to go nowhere, that it's, you know, it's just absolutely impossible to fix things. And this is, you know, it's going to be sort of a very, very frustrating dead end. The alternate view, I would say, is, you know, you should never bet against Elon. We all know there's an extraordinary amount of waste, and it is unsustainable. And the, you know, the 6% of GDP deficits that the U.S. has cannot be sustained. They probably cannot even be sustained for, you know, even the rest of this decade. Mm. There are two ways to resolve them. You can, you know, you can cut spending and cut waste, or you can raise taxes massively. And I take this election in the U.S. for standing for the proposition we're not going to go the European style socialist route of having massive tax hikes. And then that suggests, you know, you need to try something like the Doge thing. And that's actually what is going to happen.
So when he makes the comment that people in D.C., like the common understanding in D.C. is this is not going to happen. That's cute. That you think you're going to come in here and you're going to cut all of this spending, and that Vivek and Elon are strutting around D.C. and you know, getting ready to be the big man on campus who's going to make all of these changes. Like, D.C. is like, oh, please. But you've got Peter Thiel there saying that while that is the case, don't bet against Elon Musk. And Elon Musk tweeted it, retweeted this comment from Peter. And I think he said something like no lies detected or something like that, when he was saying Elon Musk was acknowledging that DC thinks that they're full of baloney. Well, but that also Elon Musk should not be bet against.
And Washington always does this before, oh, Donald Trump, give me a break, like he could be elected. You know, this is the way D.C. always reacts. So I don't believe them a bit. I just am worried that our expectations are too high for how much we can cut and how quickly.
Well, just even the conversation of cutting spending is a huge step in the right direction. So it'll be interesting to follow, of course. And I like that Elon Musk knows that people are doubting him significantly. That, to me, feels like fuel, so to speak, on a fire to get the job done. All right, quick break. When we come back, Be or Not the Bee. Are you ready?
Be or Not the Bee. Got a lot of stories today.
All right, there are some that I sent you that I told you you were not allowed to do.
there's a bunch this week that I was like, whoa, okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah, it's getting a little spicy over there at the Babylon Bee. We will come back with Wiggins America in our Friday edition of the Be or Not the Bee, where you and Brad and I decide whether or not these are real stories or satire from the Babylon Bee. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Carols and how he really misses that. And then this song comes on, and I thought Ryan put these together. I thought Ryan did this to Hans von Spakovsky.
I'm not above that.
You know, but you acted like, Annie, come on, would I do that? And I'm like, you darn right you would.
Yeah, I might. From going into that into the Creed version of Rudolph, like this is what Hans remembers from his childhood. It is still kind of funny.
Yeah, it's something else. I've only ever heard that song on our show, but I got to get it in my Spotify rotation. Before we get to the Bee or Not the Bee, I want to give you guys an update report here locally in St. Louis. Fox2Now.com is reporting that prosecutors have formally filed charges against at least one suspect in the murder of Colin Brown, that teenager fatally shot on I-55 last month in St. Louis while riding back from a hockey game with his father. The St. Louis Circuit Attorney's Office filed charges Friday morning against 26-year-old Garrett Jordan. According to court documents obtained by Fox 2, Jordan was charged with first-degree murder, 3 counts of armed criminal action, first-degree assault, and unlawful use of weapon in the investigation. Court documents did not immediately indicate if Jordan has been arrested. I think that he has been arrested maybe since the publishing of this, but we are going to, well, that started at 12:16 was when it was last updated. So we will keep you updated on that. There's supposed to be a press conference at 1:30. We're going to listen into that here in the studio and give you the highlights of that after it happens. So charges filed. They have a suspect, 26-year-old Garrett Jordan. And if they can prove that he is guilty, I hope he rots.
No comment. Additional needed.
No additional comment. No comment.
No additional comment needed.
All in favor.
Aye.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the Bee or Not the Bee.
Wiggins.
Oh, Wiggins.
The Bee or Not the Bee.
All right. As usual, these are headlines. Some of them are from the Babylon Bee, which would make them satire. Some of them are real. I'll read the headline. You got to tell me which is which. First one. Celebrities flee to Canada only for Trump to annex it.
That's the bee.
That is the bee.
The bee.
That was pretty easy. Quote, this can't be happening.
Oh, come on.
Meryl Streep reportedly said upon hearing the news, he's going to force me to get pregnant. Quote, all those
celebrities. Meryl Streep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's happening.
All those celebrities, all terrible and untalented, by the way, are Americans again, Trump posted on Truth Social. I have taken Canada as America's 51st state. They now live in MAGA country, which is the best country, even if they don't know that. They don't have to thank me, but I'll still say, you're welcome, celebrities. That was Donald Trump speaking at the end there, by the way, if you couldn't tell.
Yeah, I could.
All right, next one. Canada decides to confiscate guns and send them to Ukraine.
Ooh.
That's possible.
This is real.
I can't believe it. The beat.
Brad is correct.
Oh, that's terrible.
This is a real story. Canada recently banned 324 different kinds of firearms. Next on the agenda after banning them is to confiscate and gather them up and then offer them to Ukraine. Mm-hmm. They have until October 2025 to turn in their guns to the authorities. It is just amazing that the irony is completely lost on them doing that.
I heard that they're trying to do that because they're afraid that Trudeau's government is going to collapse and that the conservative government's going to come in and just make it go away.
Oh, I've not heard that, but okay. That's an amazing story.
All in favor? Aye.
Again, No further comment. I agree with what has been said. Next one. Ray Epps announces resignation from FBI. I know.
I guess I'll say the B.
It is the B. Epps said it was important to retire now and preserve his pension before he was forced out by Trump and lost it all. FBI Director Christopher Wray, who is also stepping down at the end of the Biden administration, praised Ray Epps for the incredible work he's done turning Americans against each other. No. Quote, without Epps, America would be a downright peaceful place, he said. We owe him a debt of gratitude.
I want to know that story. I want to know specifically if we could prove one way or the other that Ray Epps was involved or wasn't involved. He's the name of it. Like, that's he's the face of what people assume happened and have denied that happened. So let's get to the facts of the matter.
Yes. Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Again, yes. Let's agree and move on. Now, let's not be so hasty to find and assassinate everyone responsible for the healthcare crisis, says nervous Obama.
Say that one again.
Now, let's not be so hasty to find and assassinate everyone responsible for the healthcare crisis, says nervous Obama.
The B.
It is the B. A visibly sweating Obama reminded people not to jump into hunting down, killing everyone who might be considered responsible for causing the terrible state of American healthcare. Quote, now, let's not get carried away here, said Obama, tapping the floor faster and faster as an eyebrow inadvertently twitched. Surely the answer here isn't more violence.
Don't you think that Barack Obama's brand is dramatically tarnished right now?
Yes. It's going to be tough to figure out who's in charge now. There's probably a whole lot of behind the scenes people figuring out where's the money going now. Is it still to the Obama camp? Because he had clearly been in charge of things for so long.
Well, and we don't know what happened in the background. So who was responsible for pushing Joe Biden out? Who was responsible for pushing Kamala Harris in? It seems to me like Barack Obama probably had a percentage of responsibility in both of those things, and they both went dramatically wrong.
Yeah.
Like, if he would have had his way, it would have probably looked a little bit different, but at the same time, he had his way to an extent. It just, Biden wasn't out in time, and Kamala Harris, I still think that Kamala Harris got the nomination because Joe Biden was like, fine. Or Jill.
I do, too. I really do.
Who hates Kamala Harris the most?
Doug Emhoff.
Jill Biden.
Jill. No, I think Doug has been riding that wave for quite some time. Jill detests Kamala Harris. So she grabbed Joe's phone. I don't even know if Joe has a phone. If she grabbed the phone with the account on it and tweeted that out, oh man.
That is the most likely scenario.
I can't wait to read that book.
Yeah. And well, more and more people are saying behind the scenes, like, yeah, that is really going to happen. All right, next one. Liberals sadly wish each other happy holidays one last time before Trump makes it punishable by death.
Oh, I guess the B. You have one real story today? That's it?
Yes, that is the B. Happy holidays, a tearful Sarah Stone said, holding her children tight. I love you, and I just want to tell you happy holidays before it's too late, before Trump gets us all. Though Trump has been silent on the matter, liberals are already preparing for the inevitable day the phrase happy holidays is replaced with the dark Christian nationalist greeting, Merry Christmas.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
The horrors. All right, let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to, I want to get to some of the things that I missed throughout the week. There's so much news coming in, and it's not as much the huge stories. Remember during the campaign where it was like one big bombshell after the other when Donald Trump was in a new court case every day, and then the Hunter Biden stuff and all the election stuff and presidents stepping down and vice presidents reluctantly maybe stepping in. There's a lot of stuff that's going on right now, and it's not quite the bombshell roller coaster that it has been before, but a lot of interesting things to talk about. So we'll get to the things I missed throughout the week. Plus, we've got Ask Us Anything. Next question coming up at 125. If you have questions for us, leave them in the comments. We'll be right back.